like to invite the following people to join me for lunch.
I think we should share an awesome blossom. What do you say? They are awesome.
Order!
Cheeseburger, please!
Get off, Napoleon. Make yourself a dang quesadilla.
And I'll have the number 8. That's a party platter. It serves 12 people. I know what I'm about, son.
This burrito is delicious, but it is filling.
Okay, I'll have the linguine, red sauce on the side. If the sauce does not come on the side, I will send it back.
Can I take your order?
It's time for the Lunch Rush. The latest and greatest in sports news. Here's Brady Hall.
Man, you just keep hearing different reports coming out about bad environments and cultures around college football coaches or whatever. PJ Fleck, the Minnesota football coach, is now defending his program. Basically, a bunch of players are saying that there was a Fleck bank system, like a point system, that basically he would overlook positive drug tests and other team rule violations for players who had accumulated enough goodwill through a point system called Fleck Bank. The former players that went out and talked about this and others said excessive workouts were used as punishment, described a cult-like culture that contained significant intimidation. Fleck said, our program culture is proven to work on and off the field, and it's always done in a first-class manner. There are tons of testimonials from past, current, and future Gophers. Future? How is there testimonial from future Gophers? Doesn't sync up there. What is going on with these coaches? Do you just think that, again, and innocent until proven guilty, but you got the Northwestern story now blowing up, and not just the football program, but all of it. Do these coaches just get in these systems, and they're like the kings of their own little worlds, and they just run things the way they want, do whatever the hell they want?
It's really tough to say. PJ Fleck is a coach that I've paid attention to the last few years because of his success at Minnesota, and he seems like one of those, he's like the next big candidate for a big-time coaching job. I never got a sense of this from him or any time he talked, so I was kind of shocked when I saw this headline involving him in this kind of scandal. Like, it draws me back to the question, how is this being covered up, and how is it being covered up for so long? If it's as serious as you're making it out to be, you need to say it when it happens.
Yeah, why is it all these players?
Why do we wait until someone has a good opportunity or a good job or potential to go somewhere and do something big, and we take it away from them because we have something we're holding on to?
Fleck said, you know, he's used the term Fleck Bank before, but it was an analogy he mostly used during the 17-18 seasons about player investment in the program and how those who put more in will have a better experience. I don't know. I mean, did he do it? Is it a bad culture there, or is it some pissed off players that he was too hard on, and so they're coming after him and doing all this? Same questions are being asked around Northwestern. I hate to keep using the phrase where there's smoke, there's fire, because that's not always fair, but you're getting a lot of people that are coming out saying that this was a bad culture that he built up. Not quite to the extent of, you know, naked pull-ups and bear crawls and stuff that we're hearing about going on at Northwestern, but still, just a bad environment overall. The Los Angeles Angels are going to roll the dice, Angel. They're not going to trade Shohei Ohtani. They're going to keep him, at least for the rest of the season. He'll be up for a new, big, gigantic deal next year, or after the season. I guess this is the Angels saying, we like our chances to squeeze into the playoffs, into the wild card spot, and so we have a better chance of doing that with Shohei Ohtani with us, knowing that he could leave next year. And basically, this is not to compare the players, but this is a Carmelo Anthony deal. The Nuggets knew he was gone. He let them know he was going to be gone at the end of the season, so they traded him while they still had some value to get, and that was Jamal Murray was kind of, that draft pick was a part of that trade. Shohei could be gone, but the Angels are going to roll the dice and hope they can make the playoffs with him.
Yeah, they're not doing too bad the last couple of weeks. Mike Trout's on the mend from his wrist injury. You know, if you can find a way to get those two guys back in the lineup here in August, might be able to stretch a run here for the Angels. I mean, I can imagine the Angels or Ohtani is going to allow them to match any offer he gets. But, I mean, if the Yankees or the Dodgers step in there with three Brinks trucks, that's going to be it.
I wonder if he'll be a Yankee.
Be a Dodger.
You could wonder if he'll be a Dodger. Yes. Oh.
No, we say don't be a Dodger, and then he'll end up in San Francisco.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
That's
yeah.
worse.
So it's worse. It's a risk. It's a risk by the Angels. They hope they can convince him to stay and then obviously find that money because somebody's going to offer him the moon. The guy, as Tanner puts it, is already the best player to ever play the game. So he's going to make money like the best player to ever play the game. Last one here. Roger Craig, Tom Coughlin, both advance in Hall of Fame consideration. Roger Craig was a good running back in the day. Tom Coughlin, obviously, won two Super Bowls. Shanahan's name is in that mix, too. They've all advanced to the next stage of consideration. Mike Shanahan as well. Just goes to show you what the national media thinks of Shanahan. He's not even in the headline of that. It's Coughlin and Roger Craig and Mike Shanahan, but all three of those guys are elevating in those conversations, but Shanahan wasn't really mentioned in the headline. To me, those two guys are, Coughlin and Shanny are pretty similar, but Coughlin, we looked at his resume. You know, he's close, in my mind. The Hall of Fame will put both of those guys in. That's just the Hall of Fame. You and I will probably be in there pretty soon. You know?
The dream.
That's the dream, and you don't have to dream very far because
I don't
long.
Need a gold jacket or a bust or anything.
Oh, I want all those.
I will
things.
Give you a wallet sized picture of me and just put it up on
just
the wall. Thumbtack it there.
Just thumbtack it up mm-hmm. there. The 12 person committees for each group will meet next month to pick up to their three senior candidates among players who last played no later than 1998, and one coach and one contributor. The finalists will be part of the Hall's class of 2024 if they are supported by at least 80% of voters next January. They'll get those. I don't have Roger Craig's stats or anything pulled up, but Shanny and Coughlin, you guys can disagree with me all you want, but I'm telling you, they will be in the Hall of Fame. They shouldn't be in the Hall of Fame. The Hall of Fame, I'm very passionate about it, and I'm tired of just putting everybody in there because they had good to great careers. I want Hall of Fame should be the greatest careers. You were one of the greatest coaches to ever do it. But Brady, his coaching tree. No, that doesn't. Coaching tree didn't win you more games. You just were a good mentor. We're putting mentors in now for it's teaching guys?
It's influence, but it's not measurable or tangible, you know. You could have a good coach that has a good year with one team, gets moved on to another team and has a bad year. Does that ultimately affect your coaching abilities? No.
No. That's not. How did you coach your team? Did you win a lot of games? Did you win a lot of Super Bowls? Did you win a lot of playoff games? All those things go into it. You know, he revolutionized the game. He changed the game. Yeah, his zone blocking, what he did, a lot of teams use that now, and that was a big thing, and I do get that. But I'm judging you based on what you actually did. What was on the field? How well did you coach these guys to win a lot of games? And outside of the two Super Bowls, his resume's not strong. It's not. And I know Brady, it's two Super Bowls, though. Aside from that, they were eliminated in the first round a lot in the playoffs. He had Hall of Famers. Great coach. Love Mike Shanahan, Ring of Famer, obviously. But no, not Hall of Fame. 14 minutes after the hour. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. We're going to have my friend who works with UNC, who does a great job with UNC. Dennis Driscoll's going to join me a little bit later on in the program. He is the Associate Athletic Director for Strategic Communications. He's doing wonderful there. Do you know where he was before he was with UNC?
CSU.
You're close. You're getting warmer. You're getting warmer. When you say CU, what do you think of nowadays?
Prime.
Yeah, and where was he?
Was he with Prime?
Jackson State.
He was
with Prime Time, and we're going to talk to Dennis about his history with Prime Time. And obviously talk Bears, too. We're going to talk UNC.
Football camp here in a couple of next week.
Oh, we're going to talk about David Hogue and Jordan Apke and Jacob Sermon and, you know, Ed Lamb. I hear the Bears have a new coach, too. I'm excited about UNC football. I am. But we also got to pick Dennis's brain because he was with Primetime. He experienced the Primetime experience. He experienced the experience. Can we say that?
Mm.
It's a good headline, huh? 15 after the hour. Quick break coming up. Tight-knit brewing poll question of the day. Will the Pac-12 be in it? Will the Pac-12 exist in 5 years? Yes, no, or yeah, but it'll be kind of under a different name and different situation. All that we'll continue to discuss. Sean Payton just absolutely torching Nathaniel Hackett. I got to play this clip from Mike Prater, who we're going to hope to have on the show tomorrow. Mike Prater is a radio guy that talks Boise State stuff, so I'm looking forward to that. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We're on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Start your day with Good Morning NoCo with Brian Gary and Tanner Schwint on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Clay Millen, quarterback for the Green and Gold, and you're listening to the whole show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
So Mike Prater does a radio show for 95.3 The Ticket, Idaho Sports Talk, Prater and the Ball Game, weekdays 3 to 6 there. They talk a lot of Boise State Broncos stuff, right? Well, he, on his show, hates the idea that we're all bringing up here of CSU going to the Pac-12 or CSU potentially joining CU in the Big 12. That's not going to happen. But here's Mike Prater, who doesn't seem to really think much of Colorado State, the stadium, their history, their athletic department, or the fans.
Well, I know that you have a love affair with Colorado State. a lot of Colorado State, fans now think, you know, pair them with Colorado.
No, why? What do they bring to the table? They bring nothing to the table except a lot of money, a lot of hype, and a lot of lack of success. That market is no better than Boise State. That market and that athletic program, it's stupid. I don't understand why Colorado State gets so much stinking love. It's terrible. Pisses me off.
They were one of the teams that also applied like Boise State did, you know, 7 or 8 years ago, whenever it was, when the Big 12 was taking applications and didn't end up adding anybody. Yeah, there is a little bit of, I mean, they have the new football stadium, obviously. But in terms of like actual success, at least in football, they haven't had a ton. They had the lightning in a bottle there with McElwain or whatever it was for a year or two. That was one thing I saw last night was Colorado State fans instantly saying, pair us with Colorado.
Typical, very typical of a Colorado State fan. I don't like Colorado State fans. I don't like that athletic department. And very, very typical. Colorado State has done nothing, absolutely nothing to raise its profile. So, I mean, that stadium didn't work for me. Eustachia basketball did okay. I mean, they had a nice little basketball run there. They just tease you a little bit with success every now and then, and it's just not a market. Nobody ever desires to go watch a Colorado State sporting event unless you're a hardcore fan, and I don't think there's enough hardcore fans nationally. Boise State has such a better brand nationally. It just drives me crazy that Colorado State continues to get this love. I don't know why. Somebody owes somebody some pictures or some money, but it's just bizarre to me.
Well, I know that you have a love affair with
Colorado. There's Mike Prater with 95.3 The Ticket. Listen, Boise State, one thing he's right about there, Boise State nationally, I would imagine, has a much bigger brand than CSU. He is right about that. Right? No?
I mean, Boise State's very nostalgic in college football at this point. They're a good program, but it's like when you hear Boise State, you immediately go back to like 2006 against like Oklahoma in the Fiesta Bowl. You're like, oh, that was Boise State. Mm-hmm. I want that version of that. They're not that same team anymore.
They're not. That's why I said, could they be like a Nebraska, a mini Nebraska someday? Because it's, you know, Nebraska.
Already a mini Nebraska.
Yeah, it's true. They're mini. Could they ever be big like Nebraska? Because Nebraska, like, just became monsters.
Would CSU offer money, potential? That sounds like two good selling points for me.
Well, and the stadium is. It's, he said the nice stadium doesn't do anything for him. That one is.
Because it's not blue?
Because it doesn't have a blue field.
Well, guess what? The field's green.
It's green like a grass. It's supposed to be. It's green, man. We're gonna have Mike on the show tomorrow.
Wow.
I don't disagree with everything that he said, though. CSU, other than Nico Medved's run, they haven't done anything, especially in football. He's not wrong there. But you know, it's like, I don't like the fans. I love CSU fans. They don't always love me, but.
Have to be a diehard fan to go to CSU events?
I don't think so.
Barely.
I think that the fan base, I would like to see him stick around games the full length of the games. If it's not, if it's a blowout, it's a blowout and you can go. But I was at the Nevada game like 4 years ago, and it was going into overtime and everybody just left. Like, that was bizarre to me. It's like, you guys know that they don't end this thing at a tie. You guys know that.
My perspective is that CSU is at such a crucial point in the future of what their athletics could be. With the basketball coach you have, with the volleyball coach you just got, with the football coach you have now, you have three big sports that you put the investment into it with the athletes and the support, they can become a big talking point for your school. You know, you can be proud of CSU. Not that to say that you aren't, but you can actually be like, yeah, we're going to CSU game this weekend. It's going to be super fun. And, you know, oh, we can't wait for basketball season to get going around and see what Medved's got going with his team. And I think you could create a cool, you know, college sports community there in Fort Collins and nurture it and grow it more and make yourself attractive to a Power 5 conference like the Pac-12 or the Big 12.
Yeah, I think CSU has something to offer. They have more to offer than Boise State, even though Boise State is good. They don't have the market. They don't have the following. Maybe I was wrong on that to say, you know, nationally they have more of a following. Maybe they don't. Maybe the Rams have a bigger following. I just thought it was funny that he brings up Larry Eustaches. Like, what about Nico Medved a year ago? They were dancing a year ago. They played Michigan. They had David Roddy, who got drafted in the first round. Flying Dutchman, how many times has Colorado State beat Boise State in football? Zero times. Zero times. It's never happened. So,
but denying that it could ever happen is not the right mentality to have.
It could happen.
You have to approach the issue with the potential that they have. I understand the past is now, but you can't think in the past anymore. If you want CSU to be a top-tier Division I football program, not like an Alabama or Ohio State, but stop being the little brother to Boulder, you have to have success, and you have to want to reach for that and not just be okay with just a win or, yeah, we just beat our rivals, or, yeah, we got six wins, and, you know, maybe we'll get to the Mountain West Championship someday. Enough with the some days. Make that today.
Make that today. Go. Well, this is why I tweeted last night, you know, after I heard the news of CU. You know, the time is now for CSU. You could get in the Pac-12. If that's a good thing or not, I still don't know. But you got to win. You got to win big games.
Whether or not you want the Pac-12 to talk about you is, they're talking about you. That's the fact.
But you got
to have to make yourself a good enough program that they look at you and say, man, we need them in this conference.
Stadium's great. Now you got to fill it. How do you fill it? You win games. You win games that mean something. This is why I said beating CU, a 2-0 CU team, does something for you. That moves the needle a little bit. Boy, this is just... Former Broncos right tackle Billy Turner responds to Sean Payton. Called him the F word. Ooh. Blanking bum. Mm. Yeah. He said, seems like someone started training camp and is trying to soften the blow after realizing what he's in for this season. Blanking bum. Hashtag bountygate. Hashtag childish. Hashtag this is getting spicy. 28 minutes after the hour, Dennis Driscoll's going to join me. Great guy. Excellent ally of KFKA's. He is the Associate Athletic Director for Strategic Communications for all things UNC. And we love working with this guy. Since he started with UNC, he's been nothing but phenomenal for us, getting us interviews, helping us out, promoting KFK. Absolutely love him. He's got an interesting past, though. Not bad.
Whoa.
he was doing this kind of role at Jackson State, so he knows a little bit about primetime. Knows a little bit about the inner workings of primetime. So we're going to chat with him a little bit about that, the upcoming season for the UNC Bears football team, all that and more coming up with Dennis next. You guys do not want to miss this. 29 minutes after the hour. Let's jump out and get the latest on the local sports flash.
Hi, I'm Darren Dunn, Director of Athletics at the University of Northern Colorado, and you're listening to The Whole Show, 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back to The Whole Show, 32 minutes after the 12 o'clock hour. Joining me in our Aloe Fiber studios, Dennis Driscoll, Associate Athletic Director for Strategic Communications at the University of Northern Colorado. And Dennis, I've only known you for a short time, man, but we love working with you. You're the guy that helps us on our end, helps us get all of our interviews going, gets our information out on all things University of Northern Colorado. So we just love working with you, man. It's a great relationship.
I appreciate that, man. And this, your studio? Top notch.
Not bad.
I mean,
huh?
this is a really good first impression.
You feel good about bringing people in here now, and we're excited about that. So I appreciate you making the trip down here. It makes it easier when it's not a bad place to hang
out. Absolutely.
Air conditioning's rolling, rocking and rolling. It feels great. So
just need a Coke right here.
Just need to get Angel. Come on, hook us up. Get us a Coke, please. No, that's not Angel's job. He's going to get me for that later. Okay. So obviously, we know your job. What you're doing with UNC, you're doing a phenomenal job with that. But you were doing the same job at Jackson State.
I was.
While a certain Prime Time was there.
It was, yeah, Coach Prime, Deion Sanders. I can call him Deion.
You can call him Deion.
Yeah, I have that relationship.
You got his number in your phone.
I do. It's still a Mississippi phone number.
How are we going to get that phone number from you, Angel?
I mean, we just might have to.
Can you shoot Prime Time a text and he'd respond and be like, "What's up, man? How are you?"
Probably not right now because he's in the middle of, he just had surgery on
his
foot.
True, yeah.
But, you know, I've sent him texts before, and it's usually a one-word response, and that's who he is.
But
very
it's like,
direct.
You could just be like, hope things are going well, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thanks.
Pretty much.
But you got that.
I do.
I can't even get him on the show here, so we might need you to hook us up at some point.
I will see what I can do.
Oh, that would be fantastic.
No promises, but, you know, if it does happen, though, I want, you know, credit for that.
Oh, absolutely. We'll give you credit for that. So you have a good relationship with him.
Yes.
So is he a good guy?
Yeah. He's, you know, a lot of people, I think, have this perception of Deion Sanders and the Primetime persona, and people might not like that, or they might like it, but he's actually a genuine guy. What he says is what he believes, and he's a winner. Like, he's someone that if he's going to do something, he's going to do it. He's very focused on his task at hand, and it seems like anything that he touches turns into gold.
So your job, again, Associate Athletic Director for Strategic Communications. Obviously, you're getting information out there, what's going on with UNC. They win big games. They got their schedule release. Guys, gals get put on all conference watch lists, things like that. You do that. You write up stories. You do a lot there. You set up interviews, things like that. I've heard horror stories of people in your role where they get, you know, coaches are tough to deal with, players can be difficult, whatever. But did you experience it? I mean, was it difficult working, you know, with Primetime in any way when it came to the media?
No, because he gets it. If you have a head coach that gets it, it makes your life a lot easier. And I think it's funny is coaches that come from a background where they've been a head coach before, or they've been a head coach or a coach in some type of role at a Power 5 or even the NFL, are usually easier to work with than, let's say, a small school coach coming up, just in my experiences. And, you know, with Coach Lamb at UNC, he's been head coach before. He's worked at BYU, and he's great to work with, too. He's very direct to the point. I see some similarity between the two.
Interesting, okay.
And I think that also at CU and at UNC, to be a good coach, head coach, you got to have a great support staff and great assistant coaches. And at Jackson, Coach Prime, he had a great assistant coaches that helped him. And I see the same thing at UNC with Coach Hadley on the defensive side, Coach Peterson as the OC, and then the rest of the assistant coaches, they mesh well together. And one thing that I've seen with coaching staffs is you can tell if they're going to be good is how you see them work together, and they work well together. What I've seen so far at UNC, what I saw at Jackson, and you know, I think that it's just going to that's how you're going to see the blueprints of a good football team come out.
When were you? So what years were you at Jackson?
I was at Jackson May 2018 until February of last year.
Okay. So all the interesting times, I mean, those are very interesting. His exit was very interesting, how that all kind of went down.
Yeah, it was interesting, to say the least. So,
were you shocked that he got hired by CU?
At the time, kind of, because CU is not Jackson, and Jackson is not CU, just totally two different worlds that you live in. But at the same time, CU is a Power 5 job, and it, you know, it's the flagship university of the state. And I think he just wanted a chance to prove that he can coach at the Power Five level, and CU was the one that offered him that opportunity.
So when you see all this stuff, like, obviously there's a lot of media hype surrounding him, and there's some people that absolutely love the things that he's doing. You know, I'm bringing Louis with me. I'm telling players to enter the portal and do all that stuff. And then there's other people that hate it. They don't really like that that was on video of him telling these guys, a lot of you are not going to be here. Aside from all of that, when you see that kind of stuff, what's your reaction to that? When you see the negative side too, there are negatives out there about how he approached this thing.
So there's a couple of things there. Like, he has, that's his right. When you come
as
a head coach, in year one, it's NCAA rule that you don't have to, you can cut kids. And you know, his job's on the line. With any coach, your job is on the line. If you don't win, the chances of you sticking around long term are not good. So I'd say people that criticize that, you know, you kind of really, I don't know how to say this, like, you don't know what you're talking about type of thing. Like,
sure.
You haven't been on that other side. I mean, let's say at your job, you have to do things to make sure you keep your position, whether it might be, you know, a high school principal or doing oil changes. I don't know, but you got to have those tools at your expense to do a good job. And that's kind of the same thing with Coach Prime. He did the same thing at Jackson State. He flipped the roster over. He went from 5-5 under the previous staff, and then the spring season 3-2, 4-3, and then to 10-2 that first fall, because he flipped the roster over. So,
do you think that a change like that will happen fairly instant with CU? Like, they have a good year this year, or do you think it's going to take more time?
It's going to be interesting with that, because with Jackson State in the SWAC, he recruited the best athletes in the conference, and he out-athleted the teams in that conference. The Pac-12, and you know, maybe the Big 12 now. You're going to see all the teams have good athletes, and then you see the assistant coaches that Coach Prime brought in at CU. I mean, these are good coaches, so I think that's going to be where you're going to see the differences on the coaching staff and what they do on a game day.
Dennis Driscoll joining us, Associate Athletic Director for Strategic Communications.
Tongue twister, isn't
with
it?
The UNC. That's why I have it written in front of me, just in case. I don't want to mess it up. Do you have any interesting stories, any interesting run-ins that you've had with primetime that you can talk about, want to talk about?
Went to his office one day, and I don't remember what it was for, but he was FaceTiming Snoop Dogg.
Just, hey, hold on, I'm on the phone with Snoop here.
Yeah, just things like that.
What were they talking about?
I don't know.
Football?
Probably.
I mean, Snoop's a sports guy, we know that.
Yeah, I just went in there, saw that he was talking to Snoop, and I walked out.
were you, like, starstruck at all? I mean, in your job, it's hard to be, because you try not to be, but was there times?
At first, a little bit, because I grew up, you know, I was defensive back when I was a kid. I wore a bandana.
You wanted to be primetime.
Because of Deion Sanders.
Did you tell him that story?
I did not. But I would say at first a little starstruck just because of the A-listers that are around him. But then after a while, it became routine. Like, Terrell Owens, I saw. He came to practice.
Wow.
Rex Ryan.
Oh, my goodness.
Stopped by Mike Zimmer. Just people that are A-listers, I guess you
could
say.
That's crazy. Yeah. And he's Zoom calling Snoop Dogg. I mean, that's just wild. Do you ever have any bad run-ins with him?
No.
No arguments or anything like that?
Like, he was,
how to do things?
No, he respected my role. And, you know, one of the first meetings he had with me, he laid out his expectations. And he communicated very well with me. And we didn't have any run-ins or anything, as long as we kept on routine. Didn't surprise him, and he was good.
Wow, that's just fascinating and cool stories for you to be able to have that, and obviously use those tools that you learned there here at UNC.
Absolutely, I would say now I have a national Rolodex of national media, and you know, I've talked to a couple people on UNC's behalf, and you know, I've got some things possibly coming up in the future, but we got to wait for the season to start.
Well, you can't break that news right now?
Relationships, you know.
Well, we've appreciated, too, because you come into this role. There's a lot of people in this role, you know, they do their job well and things like that. And I know even the guys last time around were good at their job. But then there are certain guys that get it.
Right.
That get, okay, we have to market this thing. We have to get out in the public. We have to get as many interviews as we possibly can. Primetime gets it in such a different way, too, because he's blowing it up. Love it or hate it, the videos attracted people. I mean, it attracts people. So that's what I really love about what you've brought to the University of Northern Colorado.
I appreciate that. You know, I think with UNC, growing up here in Colorado, D2 powerhouse, and I moved to Nebraska in high school because of my dad's job, still a sore subject to this day. But I grew up with UNC being a powerhouse football team, and I think that that can happen again at the FCS level. Coach Lamb is a seasoned head coach. He knows what he's doing, has a great staff. We have a talented roster, and I think, you know, everyone picked us to finish near last in the Big Sky Conference. And that's just a popularity contest at that time. But when the season rolls around, I think you're going to see a hard-nosed team. You're going to see a team that there's an old saying is your personality, I believe, is that of your head coach. Mm. And I think that that's going to shine this fall. And you're going to see a tough team out there that won't quit. They're going to play all four quarters. They're going to win some games and make it exciting and start that process of making UNC what it can be and what it's been in the past, and make it a great football program.
Yeah, I think that we just want that so badly for the University of Northern Colorado, for the football. Everything starts with football. We know that. Some great sports, some great coaches that you guys have, but if you have a good football team, a great football team, that helps put your school on the map. It puts your other sports on the map. And Ed Lamb, I tweeted this out the other day, Ed Lamb just seems like a what you see is what you get kind of guy. He's not over the top showy. He's not, you know, underselling or anything like that. He's just out here. He's like, hey, I know we got challenges. I know we got to be better. And I know this program hasn't been where Darren Dunn wants it to be for the longest time. But, you know, we know what we got to do, and we got to go after it and get to work. And I love that he works out with his players. And, like, he did the golf thing 2 weeks ago. And one of your guys, David, my friend David over there, was like, he hated to do that. He didn't hate to do the golf thing, but he just hated to miss the workout now. Because now if a player comes to him and says, I got to miss a workout because of this, it's hard for him to say, well, yeah, you can't do that, but because he did it. You know, now he's wanting everybody to be accountable.
Exactly. Well, last week, he was going to head out on Friday to go to Big Sky Media Day, but we left all on the same day because he didn't want to miss the workout with his team. And I was out there on Friday, and they're putting the weights away, and he's a strong guy.
He looks like he'd be a strong guy.
He moves that weight just like it was a feather. Just like, man, this guy's legit.
Yeah. Well, I remember asking him, too. I'm like, you know, can you – jokingly, he's like, can you lift as much as some of these guys? He's like, if I'm lifting more than any of these guys, we got a problem. But he's like, it is what you see, which is what you get. And I can't wait to get out. We've got fall practices coming up. Get out there and check that out. Hopefully we can cool it off a little bit before that time,
Hopefully
Dennis.
Next on Monday.
What time are we – can we promote that? Is that open or not?
Let me get back on that.
I wanted to be careful there.
Yeah.
But I'm looking forward to that. Some good players coming into the mix, too. We know David Hogue and Jordan Apke. They're getting some Big Sky national attention. So we're excited about those two guys. The defense should be pretty good.
Defense is going to be stout. Coach Hadley runs a multiple front. It could be 3-4, turn 4-3, nickel dime. But he's going to have his defense play to the strength of the players on the roster. And David, he's returning from a torn ACL from last year, but I spent the last couple of days with him, and he's ready to go. He corrected me. He's not a linebacker. He's now an edge. He said he's Von Miller.
So we're moving. So one of the strengths of him is moving around all over the football field. So is he going to be primarily more in that edge role then?
You're going to see him get to the quarterback, and that's what his job is going to be, get to the guy with the football.
Oh, I love it. You're getting me excited, man. Well, Jacob Sermon, I'm excited to see what he can do this season. We saw flashes last year. Unique situation, for sure. Yeah. But I think even Angel said this, my producer. You know, we all kind of thought when we did see Jacob, it felt like he was the guy. But obviously, and it's not a knock on Dylan or anything like that. But it just felt like Jacob has the right tools.
He has pedigree.
Yeah.
You know, he was a four-star recruit, signed with Washington out of high school. Chris Peterson recruited him. He also has a personal relationship with Russell Wilson. They still text. They do Bible study together.
So we can get, oh, wow. Let's get him to hook us up. So you get his prime time. Or you get
go
Russ.
From every angle.
Oh, my gosh. You guys, man.
Yeah, we'll get it going for you. Sermon, 6'5", 240 pounds.
Just a beast.
He can run really well. He's definitely a leader. And the way that I saw him interact with the media at Big Sky, he gets it, and he wants to win now. This is his last year. He wants to win right now. And then Coach Lamb was on record saying that he expects Sermon to be a professional quarterback. Might not be NFL. Could be USFL, XFL. Could be overseas. Who knows what other professional leagues going to pop up soon. But he has the skill set to play pro football.
Yeah. Well, I'm excited to get to know Jacob a little more this upcoming season. We're looking at putting together a weekly radio show with him. Who better to do that with? You know, I joked with him. I said, man, we should get a sponsor on like a barber or something because of your hair, and then you cut it all off. And I'm like, that's not going to work. So do you think he'll grow it back?
I think so.
Yeah.
I mean, I haven't talked to him about this specifically, but quarterbacks are usually superstitious. So maybe if he gets on a run, he might grow it back.
Grow it back.
That's a discussion you're going to have with him.
Dennis, appreciate you doing this, man. And again, I mean it. We love working with you. We love what you're bringing to the table. I don't think a lot of just, you know, regular listeners understand all the stuff that you have to do in helping promote and educate people about this, about all of your programs at the University of Northern Colorado. And I know it's a 24/7 type of job, man. And we just appreciate the work you're putting in.
I appreciate it. And I'll come on again soon, man.
You hook us up with that cell phone number. Think about
it. Gotcha.
All right, Dennis. Dennis Driscoll, Associate Athletic Director for Strategic Communications at the University of Northern Colorado. Let's do this again sometime, okay?
Thank you.
All right, my man. 12:49 the time. Let's jump out. We'll take a quick break, wrap up hour number two. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Mr. 700 Plus Wins is on KFKA. Coach Speak with Coach Bruce Dick. Weekdays at 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Miles Blumhart, sports editor at the Fort Collins Coloradoan, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back into the whole show. Cables Pub and Grill. It's Thursday, which means Smothered Burrito Day. Sounds pretty fantastic. Might have to take advantage of that today. $10.99 for Smothered Burritos. House Margarita for $4 there every single Thursday. Fiesta Thursdays at Cables Pub and Grill. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. A lot happening with CSU, CU. Well, not really anything happening with CSU. There's just conversations going on, but we know CU looks like they're headed to the Big 12. It was reported this morning that, or last night, I should say, the Big 12's president and chancellors voted unanimously on a conference call Wednesday night to accept Colorado as a new member, sources told ESPN. The vote marks one of the final remaining steps to be completed for Colorado to leave the Pac-12 for the Big 12 and move that, I mean, it looks like it's just, it's moving quickly. It's happening so fast. I mean, we kind of wondered if it was going to happen. I will admit, when CU Chancellor talked last week, Phil DiStefano said, hey, we're eagerly waiting on what's going to happen with the TV deal. We want to hear what it's going to look like. And then he said CU's goal is to stay within the Pac-12 and have a media deal coming up shortly. That's our goal, and I believe the presidents and chancellors of the Pac-12 are together on that. Clearly that was wrong. My question, though, would be to Phil, did you hear something? Did we get wind of a Pac-12 media deal, and you're like, oh, crap, we got to – they've probably already been in the talks with the Big 12 for a while now, but maybe had yet to pull the trigger on whether they were going to commit to the process, or they were just going to go anyway, and that was just Phil covering the program's butt. So if they, end up staying in the Pac-12, it's not, you don't have a bunch of quotes and clips out there of you saying how desperately you want to get out, and they're not going to say that. You're not going to say it. Jay Norvell, Joe Parker aren't going to get on and blast the Mountain West and say things like, we would really love to be in the Pac-12. That's where we need to be. They're not going to do that. They're going to say things like, we love the Mountain West, and, you know, obviously those conversations of Power Five conferences are always fun to have and unique, and while it would be an honor, we certainly love what we're doing with the Mountain West Conference. That's what you're going to hear. Phil DeStefano, that's a tough one for me to say, to spit out, Angel. But
call him Phil.
I'm just going to call him Phil. Philly.
Phil the Pac-12 guy.
Phil the Big 12 guy now.
Oh. See, even I'm confused. I'm the college football guy.
They're going to be in the Big 12. That's all we need to know. It sounds like it's happening, and now we want to know what that means for the Mountain West, what that means for the Pac-12.
So the Big 12 this year will have 14 teams.
Or next year?
No, this year they'll
have
14.
14?
Next year they will have 12, or no, 13, because they'll lose Texas, Oklahoma, add CU, so they'll be at 13 teams. You want an even number. So there's one more out there.
So there's one more spot. Who's going? Probably Oregon?
I think it's if Oregon will either go to the Big 10 or the Big 12.
How many teams are in the Big 10 now when this is all done? Because we know USC 14. And UCLA's there.
They'll be at 14. The SEC will be at 16.
All right. Let's get more into that, more into Sean Payton's comments and all that and more. Stick with us. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.